Amen. Continue. What do I have that God wants? This is lesson four. I'm going to talk about what God wants today. Does that sound good? Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You can be seated. Someone told a story of they saw a sign nailed to the wall of a convent in Blasgame, California. It said, no trespassing. Violators will be persecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, Sisters of Mercy. But I want you to understand something today, that God is not like that. There's no sign like that, I believe, in heaven. But I urge you, plead with you, encourage you, beg you, in view of the mercies of God, why would you give God what he wants? Why would you give God what he wants? Understand this, folks. Until you understand why, the what and the how doesn't matter to you. Amen? There are many facets of God's mercy in our lives. See, mercies is a plural word. Psalms 51:1 says tender mercies. Psalms 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Psalms 106:45, multitude of his mercies. Isaiah 54:7, great mercies. Isaiah 55:3, sure mercies. It is only because of God's mercy that you are breathing. It's only because of God's mercy that you are moving and thinking and worshiping right now. God has many mercies. And if every one of his temporal, physical, earthly mercies were to suddenly disappear, so that all you had was God's salvation, he would still be merciful. God would still be merciful. So how do you measure mercy? Like the mercy God shows us? How high does it go? How far does it go? Well, folks, his mercy is infinite. Okay? Psalms 103, verse 11 and verse 12 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the mercies of God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there is an easier way to measure God's mercy, because there is a point where those two immeasurable measurements meet. In a cross, God's measures his mercy with the cross. So in view of it, because of the mercies of God, that's why you give God what he wants. Don't serve God, folks, because of his judgments. Serve him because of his mercies. You see, I'm not scared of hell, but I'm thrilled about heaven. Amen. And once you understand why you would consider giving God what he wants, here's what God wants from you today. He said in the scripture, present your bodies, not just your spirit for an hour on Sunday, but your everyday life, your every body, your everyday life, your body, every minute that you live, live it for Jesus Christ. You see, a living sacrifice, that's what the scripture said. A living sacrifice. See, the problem with a living sacrifice, anybody know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? It can move itself off the altar. Amen. A living sacrifice can leave the altar, but a dead sacrifice doesn't. But God says we are a living sacrifice. Amen. So it's up to you. If you want to, if you get up on the altar and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do, you can walk off of it every day, any day. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, verse 1 says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Think about that. Is it that way in your life, your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around? Whatever you do, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you, it's the best thing you can ever do. When He says He wants you to be holy, what is that? Set apart, right? Separated, sanctified. Amen. We can't be just like everybody else and be His. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So what if you don't do that? What if you don't come out from among them and be separate and touch the unclean thing? Then He won't receive you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, so leave the corruption and the compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. Amen. You see, folks, I believe we need to be around people to try to win them to God. But the thing is we have to influence them, not them influence us. Amen. And if you can't be around somebody without them influencing you, maybe you shouldn't hang around them for a while. The scripture also says we have to be acceptable unto God. You see, God's idea of holiness is what He wants, not your idea of holiness. Okay? So that's what, again, when I talk about relationship with God, is finding out what God wants from us. Not just telling God, this is what you're going to get. Okay? It's His idea of holiness, not yours. Proverbs 21, verse 3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. All right? To do justice and judgment. He'd rather have that than your sacrifice. So which is your reasonable or your rational or your intelligent or your logical service? All right? What is it? That doesn't make sense to the natural mind, though, does it? When we talk about our reasonable service, it's a rational service, it's intelligent or logical. In our minds, it doesn't work. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto that natural man, okay? Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You see, I can't conform to that. Well, that's exactly right. You can't. In fact, nobody can, because conforming is not God's process. It's the world's process. God's process is transforming. That's how God gets what He wants. We allow God to transform us. We don't just conform to things. We don't want to just look the part. God doesn't want you fake, okay? He wants you to do it because you know it's what's right and what is pleasing to Him. So therefore, don't just try to act the part. That's what hypocrites do, okay? Be not conformed to this world. The word conformed in this verse means to mold one thing into the shape of another. Okay? Again, when you come to the Lord, you say, I'm sorry for living this way. I'm sorry for doing these things. I'm repenting. I'm going the different direction now. Or you can stay over here and conform. Okay? But we want to be transformed. All right? So the word conformed, as the verse means, to mold one thing into the shape of another. It refers to things that are temporary and unstable. This word could not be used of inward change, merely outward change. All right? Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't comply, don't copy the behavior of customs of this world. See, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way you're going to change the way what God wants is by getting this mind to think differently. And when this mind thinks differently, you will be what God wants you to be. The word transformed in this verse means to undergo a complete change or metamorphosis. All right? It refers to the process of the spirit that results in permanent change to the character, to the conduct, the way we live, folks. This word is not used a mere outward change, but a real inward change that shows itself on the outside, kind of like the butterfly. All right, that caterpillar crawls up, amen, it gets into that cocoon, and it builds around itself, and then out comes the butterfly. Totally different. It didn't conform to anything. It changed. That caterpillar couldn't fly, but the butterfly can. That's what God wants from us. God, I don't want to just conform to things. I want you to change my way of thinking because I want to be pleasing to you. Romans 12, verse 2, you will be changed from the inside out, the verse says. See, the world can't transform you. The world can only conform you. And that's why the world is full of self-proclaimed individuals, folks, that are identical in the way they think, in the way they act, and so afraid to be the least bit different. Come on, you don't fit in if you're different. Huh? That's why the Bible tells us we're a peculiar people. Huh? We don't fit into the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? But the world, they want you to conform to how they are. And we all know that the peer pressure is terrible, right? But the same token, though, folks, you can't belong to the church just by being conformed. You can belong to the church by being transformed. It's not enough just to adopt the customs. It's not enough just to adopt the worship style and the activities and the dress of the church. That's not what God's wanting here. That's just conforming, and there's no power in it. Come on. Unless you are transformed, you will never understand the Christian life, and you'll struggle. You will never understand worship. You'll never understand prayer and giving and forgiveness and holiness or a thousand other things that God wants to teach you. How does God transform us? How does he transform you? By the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. And only you can allow this, folks. We call it repentance. Come on. To change your life, you must change the way you think. You see, behind everything you do is a thought. Right? You ever just do anything without thinking? You may think you're not thinking, but you're doing something because you're thinking it. Every behavior is motivated by a belief. And every action is prompted by an attitude, right? Repentance goes even further. You repent whenever you change the way you think. Now see, God might be dealing with you on some things and helping you to change, and out of habit you might have done something and you're like, oh God, forgive me for that. Because why? Because you're thinking different and you knew what you just did was wrong. The problem with a lot of people is they do wrong and they don't care. Because they don't really want to be transformed for what God wants them to be. They're being conformed to what they think they should be. Come on. That's why some people live sometimes in a lot of frustration as quote unquote a Christian, because they really haven't wanted to be transformed. They just want to conform and feel good. What are you talking about, Pastor? You saying I'm faking? You know, there's a lot of people that like to be things like Catholic because they can do still whatever they want. Come on. You ever talk to somebody, try to talk to them about God, and they go, I'm Catholic. Why do they do that? In other words, just shut up, leave me alone, I'm Catholic. I'm a Christian, I'm Catholic. Come on. Do they live it? No. They live like the devil. Come on, I'm not talking about everybody, but there are those people, folks. You know what I'm talking about. All right? They're conformed. On Easter and Christmas, they're conformed. They know. You know what? I was in a Catholic church here, a year ago? Huh? I didn't know one thing. Everybody else, that priest would go, hum, you know, everybody stand up. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I gotta stand up. I went to a funeral, okay? And they did things, and everybody, you know, all of a sudden, the whole crowd would say something. Blah, 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 and I'm like, I didn't know it was time to say that. I had no idea. But they're conformed, right? They go to church on a couple Sundays out of the year, and they go to Catholic funerals and things of that nature. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just trying to point something out here. They're conformed. And you think apostolics can't be conformed? Come on, we know what to do. We know we should stand up at a certain time. We know what to say in the offering. We know these kind of things. I'm talking about being transformed, folks. Come on. The way we're transformed is by adopting how God thinks. And when God convicts you of something, you don't just keep doing it because that's just who I am. Huh? That was wrong, and I should be ashamed of myself. Every behavior is motivated by a belief, and every action is prompted by an attitude. So we need to adopt what God thinks. That and that alone, folks, is repentance. It involves the will much more than the emotions. You can't live for God off of emotions. Feeling. It ain't going to work. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs, in another translation, the Today English version, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your thoughts shapes your life. Ephesians 4, 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Philippians 2, 5 says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Now, there's two parts to having the mind of Christ. All right, number one. Okay, this is revelation for you. Might stomp on your toes. Stop thinking immature thoughts. Or stop thinking selfish thoughts. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 20 says, brothers, stop thinking like children. That's pretty tough, huh? In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. Romans 8, verse 5 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Come on, we got, you know what? You know where a lot of this can fit in? How we treat each other. How we allow ourselves to get so mad at somebody that's our brother or sister in the Lord. A lot of times it's immature. We act like everybody needs to be on top of their game all the time. Huh? You're not. Look at how you're thinking. Right? We need to be mature. How do you think Jesus would treat them? And then we have to start thinking maturity. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice or injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That's beautiful. That sounds like the mind of Christ. Amen? And we need to think that way. Be patient and kind and love, not jealous and boasting and proud. Don't be rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. I remember, you may not say it to the other person, but I remember how you treated me last time. Huh? It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Don't give up on us, on each other. Never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Folks, we want it from God. We want it from Christ, but we don't want to give it to our brothers and sisters. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his mercies. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Listen to this. But I became a man. I put childish ways behind me. Spiritual growth is the process of replacing lies with truth. Now, many of our troubles occur because we base our choices on unreliable authorities. You see, the culture is one unreliable authority. Everyone is doing it. All right? Remember how the world conforms? Everybody must conform together. Huh? Not when you're transformed. So a very unreliable authority is the culture we live in. Okay? Don't base your choices on what the culture says. How about tradition? We've always done it that way. Well, guess what? We're changing. Huh? Don't base your authority on tradition. Well, they've always done this. So what? What's God want? Maybe God's tired of everybody doing it that way. Another thing that people base their choices on is reason. Well, it just seemed logical. Whoever knew God to be logical? Huh? Anybody ever know God to be logical? Think about all the people throughout the Bible that God asked to do crazy things. Huh? Hey, Noah, yeah, build me an ark. Is that logical? Come on, God. Or reason? Is that reason? Seems logical. It's never rained, God. 100 and some years later, Finally started raining. How about basing our choices on something unreliable as like emotions? It just felt right. Come on. It just felt right. Folks, you better run from emotions. And I'm going to tell you something. Today, a lot of people allow themselves to get angry because they're dealing with their emotions instead of being logical. Looking at the facts. Don't do things based on emotion. Sit down and reason it out with somebody. I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of people sitting in the penitentiary because of emotions took over in their life. You know, you ever hear anybody say, I just couldn't help myself. I just lost control, right? Well, you know what I like to ask people like that when they say they lost control? I said, well, if you weren't in control and God was definitely not in control of that, then who was in control? All four of these are flawed by the fall of man. What we need is a perfect standard. The only God, folks, only God's word meets that need. Okay? You don't have enough human strength to conform to God's standards. But through repentance, you can be transformed into what God wants. Replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. Amen? Let's stand. Replace your thoughts with God's thoughts. And folks, listen. God give us everything we need to serve him. A lot of times we have to humble ourselves and do what God expects us to do. Talk to your leadership. Pray about things. Look into the Word of God. Amen. God has given us everything. Too often, well, I can make this choice on my own, and we mess up. Let your thoughts be God's thoughts. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.